me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Ow. What did you say, nigga?
Yeah, boy. What's going on? Hold on a second. I got it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all, it's Thursday night. You haven't paid your cable bill. You got expired rice milk in the fridge. You ain't got nothing to do with your life, but you tuned in to Nestorius Public Radio to get your ear holes waxed. Yo, check this out. So we're live, man. And there's an 800 number, 800-893-9562. If you're listening live, feel free to call in. We have a great show tonight. But first, let me introduce my main man, Ginger Rich.
Hey, that's a nickname I got in New Orleans by this cute little British girl. Hello, Ginger Rich. Will you marry me? Wow. She said that. And I Ginger said, nah, baby. I can't do it.
So not yet. You went to New Orleans to meet British chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
She met me.
Yeah, I like
exactly.
that.
Because there's no British bitches here in LA. Anyway, so who you just heard there is my main man, Lyndon Barbois. What's up, man?
What's happening, bro?
And his partner, Michael Connolly. What's going on?
How do you do?
Yeah, so
I just got to say, nice starting with LaWanda Page.
Yeah, that's classic. LaWanda's hot.
Yeah,
that's Sanford and Son.
I was not expecting that.
You got to integrate that somehow in modern day society. Not too many people are comfortable doing that. But we at Nestorius Public Radio, you know.
Yeah, there's no comfort level.
Anyway, so Lyndon and Michael, I've been trying to get you guys on the show for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Last time I went to your office, your mm-hmm. AKA the smoking lounge out back. And you broke this shit down, boy. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to fuck up what you do, and you know, so why don't you tell me what you do? Like, I know you guys. Well, first of all, you guys met doing special effects and animation and stuff for major like blockbuster films, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Like Happy Feet.
That's one of them.
Like what?
Life of Pi. Snow White and the Huntsman.
Okay.
Yeah. Alvin and the Chipmunks. A lot of movies like that.
Babe.
Yeah.
Babe, okay. So Life of Pi, that was heavy duty, man.
We were doing a pretty good job on that.
Did you do a lot of the
movie I was working on at the same time was Snow White and the Huntsman, which, you know, we got an Academy Award nomination for that.
Nice.
And then we split our own vote and we still won.
Nice. Because your bio says that you've supervised the creation of characters that have grossed over $2 billion at the worldwide box office. If I didn't know, I would have thought that you were a major drug kingpin and all your workers were like blacks and Latinos in East Harlem, and so you supervised them and got the cash. But that's not the case.
No. I've been working on my public image.
So, Lyndon.
Yes.
So I always thought that you were an I always think, oh, you're an animator, you do special effects, but you don't just necessarily do animation. You do computer architecture for animation.
No, I do animation.
I should end it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lyndon does animation.
All right. I should just end it right now then. Okay. Scratch that from the drawers
with a computer.
No.
Well, he's a director as well.
Well, first of all,
he fucking knew me.
When I went to your office, you were like doing some like fucking three-dimensional like Skeletor.
That would be called stop motion animation.
Okay, got it. So,
I thought I was breaking it down for you.
No, you did break it down, but there was
a lot.
Then
I showed you the computer.
There was a lot of information.
But I also showed you I was animating it.
Okay, yeah. Now he's going to beat the fucking dead horse that I'm retarded. Okay.
I have to.
That's
cool.
The
word of the day is animation.
Okay, all right. So you're an animator, but you're also a director. You directed a feature, a short.
It's like a live action short.
A short, live action short, and you're working on a couple of other film projects.
Yes, currently I'm doing a stop motion short. And then also committing time to this Black
Thorn. Well, we're going to get into this Black Thorn venture that you guys are part of and the reason why you're here. But I just so you're doing a stop motion another short based on
with my miniatures on Jack Johnson the boxer.
Right. Which I got to see some of it.
You did see some of it.
It looks dope.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate that.
Very nice. And you're also doing another short film or another film project that you were telling me about a young girl.
That's something I'm pitching, I'm developing.
Got it. So we won't talk about that. All right. So, unless you want
to. Cat's out of the bag now.
No, we're good.
Unless you want to, man. No. So, okay. So, Michael, you're what? You're not just a supervisor. You create characters, yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah. So I was a digital effects supervisor.
Shit right, all right.
I was a digital effects supervisor at a company called Rhythm and Hue Studios for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we did everything from character design to fully CG animated shorts and huge chunks of movies that were all CG and you might never have known. Mm-hmm. And so did that for the better part of 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then it was really sad, actually, that, you know, we were winning the Academy Award for Life of Pi at the same time the company was going bankrupt.
Oh.
And just an incredible turn of events. And that's what it felt like. Fuck. I think I made that very sound.
Well, if you didn't, you felt it.
Everybody
there's a reason
did.
Why that sound was made.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but, you know, walked out the door after a long spell at Rhythm and Hues and said, okay, I know what to do. Let's start a company and work on these things that, been developing projects the whole time I've been in California.
And this is the company you
And this Blackthorn. This is Blackthorn Media. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And so we started with a slate of three projects, and the first one is Dragonflight, and that's the project you guys saw the other day.
Oh, my God.
So the reason why these guys are here is because Linda's been telling me about this shit for, like, almost a year. So this project that they have called Dragonflight, and it's a virtual reality project that you use with an Oculus, which is a virtual reality glasses, headset, whatever. Right. I mean, you need something to fuck up, your state of being.
Yes.
And so in this case,
that's
it's
what it says on the box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So basically, they've been telling us about this shit, and so Rich and I had the pleasure and the honor, really. I mean, who the hell gets to check something out like this, before it's even.
This is secret backroom stuff.
Exactly. Right, exactly. So basically what it is, it's a dragon. It's a real dragon that you're riding. Mm-hmm. And you have 360-degree visuals, left, right, all the way around. The back, you can see the tail. North, south, east, west.
You're 1,000 feet up.
Yeah, 1,000 feet up, 1,000 feet down. Right. You control where the dragon flies into, how it flies up, how fast it goes down. Mm-hmm. And seriously, it's a fucking trip. It's like, yo, that's wild. So
Thanks,
I let Rich do it first because I was like, I drove all the way down from the valley to
Santa Monica. No,
El Segundo.
El Segundo, our office.
And that was probably worse than the virtual reality.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So by the time I get to your office.
No, I mean, worse than being like good.
Driving down there, by the time I got to your office, I was like, I was virtual reality'd out, dude. I was like. Anyway, so I let Rich rock it, and Rich was cracking me up. He was like, "Oh shit!"
Oh man, you guys made our day when you saw this stuff.
I got off seriously just watching him.
We got goosebumps.
I gotta tell you, just thinking about it too. Another way, I was trying to figure out what the first time you're on a roller coaster and all that stuff. But also, when you have a dream that is incredibly real.
Mm-hmm.
that's what that's what it's like. It's like when you're falling and you're like, oh shit, I'm that's what it feels like.
It's very cool.
It's realistic. When you wake up, you're like, did that happen? Oh my God, thank God it was a dream.
See,
that's
if
what it's like.
If you had yourself, then we know we have just gotten over.
I don't know about y'all, but I've actually had the pleasure of tripping on LSD, mushrooms. So I've tripped on blotter, LSD blotter. I've tripped on microdot mescaline, and I've also ingested magic peyote buttons. So I've actually experienced virtual reality without an Oculus, and I know exactly the fucking look you had. You were like, you were moving up and down like,
It's actually my favorite reaction. It's like one of the best reactions we've gotten to this thing.
Dude,
it's like
it was cracking me up.
You put the headset on and somebody just starts yelling, and you're like, yes.
It was crazy.
I felt like I was 5 years old. Really. I mean, it was like just complete and utter joy and happiness. It really was. I cannot wait. I will get one of those. I will go buy your games. I'm sold. Seriously. That's all you.
So you
thanks,
have.
Thanks,
you guys,
oh my God.
Have two other projects. I mean, this is dope, and we're going to get into Dragonflight. Hopefully, Jenny, our beautiful engineer,
Jeremy.
I'm telling you, I fucking forget my own name.
Did you just wake up, Jeremy?
Didn't I just tell you that I swallowed the peyote buttons?
Too many virtual games for you.
What's that?
I said too many virtual games for you.
In the form of tablets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no, Jeremy is probably going to come in and check it out also, and maybe even hook up the computer inside of the engineering room that said we can actually get a chance to look at the actual program, the game, Dragonflight, so that you get somewhat of an idea. But you also have two other projects, which I also found very interesting. Tell me about those. You have a film project and another game.
Yeah,
interactive game.
The second project is called The Abbot's Book. It's a gothic fiction story, and it's just like a really spooky story about how four generations of this family respond to corruption, in the form of this book that's dug up in the catacombs underneath their estate. It takes place in Renaissance Italy, so it sounds a little highfalutin on the front of it, Renaissance Italy, but no, it's really a story about a family and how it goes bad over four generations.
Trust me, you have this shit down. You have like the dude's grandfather's name. I mean, this shit is well thought out. I mean, this is not just I have a game about Renaissance Italy and there's some spooky shit going on.
No, it's just the whole idea is to make an environment that people would want to go to and just be like, man, that's a beautiful world. And then when they get there, they're like, man, this place is dark. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's going on?
They got monsters and stuff. It's cool.
Yeah. But at its core, it's a universal, fucked up father and son story. It's a family story.
Yeah.
And it's very emotional.
So, you know. Let me go to Dragonflight. So let me just go back and do something. So Abbott's book you told me was based on a story that you wrote a long time ago,
1989.
And you told me like you broke it down to me and like I fucking love the illustrations of the characters and the world and all that stuff. I mean, I love that. I love that that gothic dark, you know, environment. And you guys, you know, the illustrations are dope. And you also have, you know, the beginnings of the virtual reality of it. You get to walk down into the castle, which is pretty dope also. But that has a story and you get to be an interactive part of that story, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Dragonflight, what's the deal with that? Is it more than just riding the dragon, or will that be a story?
Oh, yeah.
Will it be like you have to collect some coins and save the princess type of thing? I'm
right. It's fancy. It's fancy Mario Brothers.
Is it?
Yeah. No.
I wasn't going to say Mario Brothers, but I was going to say anything that I mentioned to you would be Zelda.
Actually, our training level does have some little sparkly training, like stars floating in space.
I'm just curious.
It.
But there is actually a story behind it all.
There is a story with Dragonflight as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, there are rewards and an end game.
Got it.
And all that.
Got it. So right now,
save the world.
Right now, you're at the experiential phase where people can experience riding it, and then you're developing the story.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're looking at the VR side of this thing right now, really, as you know, it's our it's it's what we're leading with, you know, we just want to get you on the back of the dragon and riding around and having this experience.
Yeah.
You know, we're building something bigger than that where there's, you know, there's backstory. And, you know, if you check out the iPad or the iPhone version of the game, and there's like a, you know, it opens with story and we learn right. about this, you know, the bones of this ancient dragon are buried in 9 different castles all around the world. And this new race of dragons that nobody's ever seen before has appeared in numbers to come and destroy one of the first castles that are containing these bones. And so this indicates a threat. And we're recruited as the player of the game to go and figure out what on earth is going on, who's stealing these bones, who's the force behind these dragons nobody's ever seen before.
Wow.
And
you didn't get into all this shit when I was there.
That's just a flood of questions. So are you going to be able to get off the dragon, go through the castles? Can you get on a horse? Can you jump on a, you know...
Duly noted.
We would love to, you know, it kind of depends on how the first part of the work is received.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we started this whole thing just because we love the work.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point here, we're going to have to kind of, you know, hotwire it all and figure out how to make a living doing it.
Uh-huh.
And we hope we're off to a good start. But, you know, if we do this right, we will, you know, continue to build each one of these worlds out.
Short answer is yes. We want
to. Yeah.
I think there's obviously potential to make a lot of money in this. We're going to get into all that stuff. Tell me about your film project, Goblin.
Goblins of Forest County.
Yeah, I see. Now that was that. Now you told me the story, the elaborate story on that, and I thought, wow, that's again. I love the illustration.
Thank you.
The illustrations.
Thanks, man.
The characters are like really nice, and I like the fantasy world that the kids. Create.
Yeah, that mashup of fantasy and reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lyndon, you want to take this one?
Take it where?
Well, you know.
Just explain. expand
take
on
it. Take it home, man. Take
expand
it home.
Expand on it. I mean, it's a bunch of kids and some of them. I'm going to fuck it up and you correct me. How's that? No?
No. Oh, God. Well, I'm kind of used to that anyway because, you know, we boys.
Of course.
This is our fucking
boys. Yeah, we boys. Lyndon and I know each other for like God knows. We hit it off day one.
Right.
All right.
No, it is a story about these kids who are really just trying to find their place in the world and what they need to do to protect their playground, which is this park.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a whole, it's got a fracking backstory to it. That is
right.
basically the spine of the story.
Right.
And so these kids come together, and it's augmented reality because in the real world, you see the cranes and the tractors and all the guys working it. And, you
that's
know,
the reality
tearing up
of what's
the earth.
Going
that's
on.
The reality.
Mm-hmm.
The augmented reality is in their imaginations. What they see are these goblins and these orcs and these dragons that take the shape of the tractors and that
cranes
are destroying the world
stuff.
And all this stuff. Yeah.
And
towers and castles. Uh-huh.
And the whole idea of it is that from the kid's point of view,
yeah.
you know, it's not a real stretch to say, boy, the silhouette of that backhoe really looks like a dragon.
Yeah, it's like looking at clouds. You see clouds, you see different things in clouds. You see creatures, you see cute things. No, these kids see dragons because, and they just see creatures because it's what's destroying their environment. And so there's this whole, you know, environmental bent to the story.
Right.
But at the heart of it, it is a kid's story just trying to, and then the main character himself just trying to find his identity and his relationship with his father.
It has a lot in common with a film like Stand By Me.
Right.
You know,
Got
so
it.
it's kids trying to recover their self-esteem that they've lost for different reasons, different family problems.
That'll do very well in the Puerto Rican community. Mira, papi, don't touch me like that, okay? I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
But that's a film. That's a movie that you guys have
originally
developed.
wrote the script for an animated CG feature.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you looking to do this because I don't know where virtual reality is yet in the moving picture, the film arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's very early stages.
Right.
I mean, I did some research on the history of virtual reality. Because who the hell knows what virtual reality is for real?
You do now. You know everything.
Well, I mean,
about
no. I knew who some of the pioneers were, and I also know that, you know, first of all, the origin started like in the late 50s into the early 60s, okay? It goes that far back.
He's a man of sagacity.
But and I'll go into it. But,
it's predating
but
us.
Then it goes into like, you know, the boom of it, the height of it was like in the 90s, like mm-hmm. with the video games and all that shit. And then it went to crap. It disappeared.
Well, I guess in terms of what you're describing.
Yeah.
I'm just, what they tagged as virtual reality.
Well, put it this way. In the
80s, they got.
In the 80s, you had virtual reality gloves, suits, and all this other stuff mm-hmm. that they were in development mm-hmm. that, you know, it didn't cross over.
It missed the mark.
It missed the mark. So before I get into all this stuff, did you guys want to set up either Jenny or Jeremy.
His name is Jeremy.
Let me see, because we got to time this right. I have about 29 minutes. Let me just do this, and then one of them can come in here, and then they can just rock that for a minute. Because once they rock that, they're not going to want to get off. But we can fuck around. Anyway, so obviously, like when I think of virtual reality, because when you see the program mm-hmm. that you see without the Oculus, it's just basically two images, like three-dimensional. Like the right. same image on the right side, the same image on the left side, right?
Yeah, with slight differences because it's a stereoscopic view.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between two images, left and right?
Well, it's just what's geared to the left eye and to the right eye.
Oh, so they're slightly different?
Slightly different.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So when they're together.
Interesting.
If you do this, that's the difference.
Okay.
All right. Close your left eye, close your right eye.
And you'll see a slight shift.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's so exactly it's adjusted for that.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So the reason I mention that is because most people are familiar with the 3D slides,
the ViewMaster.
Yeah, the ViewMaster.
Those things, right.
Those were great.
Which I just got into collecting again, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I got my wife first of all, the original ViewMasters were made out of Bakelite. Right mm-hmm. in the 30s, and the guy who invented that company later on sold it to Sawyer.
Well, actually, they go way back before that.
Well, you're talking about the Victorian stereoscope. I'm not talking about the ViewMaster.
Okay.
I got a stereoscope.
Oh, so you're talking about the trademark.
No. They're two different things. Uh-huh. Because although
the
they're
little
not,
thing with the trigger.
Correct.
Well, yeah.
But that's
based on the stereoscope.
Yes, it's a disc. Yeah.
That's already a stereoscope.
Yeah. But the stereoscope is like fucking dope.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's amazing.
The fucking things are awesome. They still work.
They're awesome, man.
They always work. Yeah, because it's the technology.
And so that's
the principles of it won't change.
That's the origin of the 3D thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought it was wild. But anyway, virtual reality as we know it was mm-hmm. created by a handful of pioneers in the 50s and 60s. So
are you reading that shit?
I'm reading it.
Or do you know that shit?
No, I'm reading it. You just fucked it up. I was gonna like read it conversationally. You know, like in 1962 and shit, after years of work, filmmaker Mort Halig patented what might be the first true VR system. Now, check this out. The Sensorama.
I feel like we should have a campfire.
Do you know the Sensorama?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll show you pictures.
Is that where they like brought in smells while you're watching the movie?
No. The Sensorama.
Oh, that's Smell-O-Vision.
No. Sensorama is an arcade style cabinet. Think of one of those Ms. Pac-Man.
Oh,
thing,
I've seen this.
Right? With a 3D display,
yeah.
A vibrating seat, and a scent
producer.
That's
the key. That's the key. The vibrating seat.
But I mean, this is in 1962. Then. This dude, Ivan Sutherland, another mm-hmm. guy. There's three dudes that are pretty much started this stuff, like mm-hmm. as where you guys are at. But this guy Ivan Sutherland, already known as the creator of groundbreaking computer interface sketchpad, mm-hmm. conceived what he termed the ultimate display, or as he wrote, a room within which the computer can control the existence of matter. He demonstrated an extremely preliminary iteration of such a device, a periscope-like video headset called the Sword of Damocles.
Oh, God.
In 1968. Okay. And that shit is crazy.
I got you.
I'll show you a picture of that. It's a big contraption made out of steel. Mm-hmm. It has to be supported because it's so heavy.
Oh,
but
right.
It's pretty wild because it's pretty much the predecessor, you know, antiquated predecessor of this Oculus thing here.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys were onto this,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. And then the last guy I'll mention is this guy, Myron Kruger, right? Mm-hmm. Who would begin creating a new kind of experience he termed artificial reality. and attempted to revolutionize how humans interacted with machines. Mm. But while this is going on, this dude Thomas Furness was designing a new generation of flight simulators, working on a multi-decade project that eventually became the Hallmark program known as Super Cockpit.
Why are these dudes taking all the credit? You know,
that just sounds like
really short woman that they're not giving credit to.
That sounded like a porno, right? Let me just interject. That sounded like a porno. Super Cockpit.
Because back then, the Super Cockpit and the Sensorama and all that, like, if you watch how people reacted to monster movies like Frankenstein and all that, they shit their pants because that's what they were used to. And they're like, oh, God, it's so real. And there's, like, makeup peeling off their face and shit. Like, they, you know, like, it was easy to fool people back then. But as we get along, that was state-of-the-art back
when
then.
When movies first arrived, you'd get people in the audience and, you know, they'd set up a locomotive coming towards the camera and people in the audience were afraid that the damn train was going to hit them.
Well, because that's the level of sensory, you know, that they were used to. They had never experienced anything like that unless they actually stood in front of a train.
Right.
And that guy wasn't scared.
And what's amazing to me with this stuff now is, you know, in a sense, we are as antique as what this technology, you know, is going to be just a few years from now.
Right.
So the kinds of tech that are in R&D right now are going to make what this thing does look like that black and white locomotive. What do you think?
Like, I was just thinking maybe they're going to have VR contact lenses.
This is going to turn into something that's more like the size of a normal pair of glasses.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to start to integrate stuff called like light field technology.
But why would you want to do that? I mean, people can't even deal with regular reality. Now you're going to fuck around with glasses with virtual reality?
If they can't deal with regular reality, we need to treat it somehow. I mean, we need to give them the reality they want.
Put it in your porn hole.
This is a good discussion, right? Because it kind of fits into the history of what I was just talking about, right? So like in the 80s, all this technology was going on. In the 90s, it just disappeared. It's like no one dealt with virtual reality. I mean, the thought of virtual reality in the marketplace, for instance, was gone, so to speak, for a while. The idea of it had
a lot of it just comes down to bandwidth and all this. You know, I mean, back then the bandwidth wasn't accessible as it is now.
No, it's not just bandwidth. I'm talking about like practicality. I guess back then most people, for the exception of flight
simulators, a lot of people didn't have home computers. That's what I'm saying. The technology involves
Pentium P2.
They're as big as this room.
Well, that was another one of the reasons why, because the home computers and the PC pretty much took whatever path video games were going on into a completely different direction, right? Because now you didn't need a fucking Atari 400 or whatever and plug it into your television. Now you can take your laptop and you can play video games wherever the hell you want.
It's incredible. Yeah. Well, and now the things you can do on your cell phone.
On your phone.
The cell phone. But the thing is, here's the thing I have. Right?
And soon your wife.
That's right.
So back then, like, I guess the idea for virtual reality applications for consumer would be, you know, I guess video games and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, aside from flight simulators and I think the armed forces has been using virtual reality to create
battle practices
and stuff like that.
Yeah, so military and then, you know, automobile manufacturers.
So they've always
medical applications, everything.
Right, right.
It's wide open.
And dragons.
No, it's completely wide open. It's just that for regular consumers, it's like, what is the application? You just mentioned these glasses. So now you have these glasses, you're walking around with them, and aside from porn, like Lyndon mentioned, what would be the purpose of having VR glasses? I mean, I'm just asking.
There's two branches here, and one is virtual reality, which is what we're kind of talking about. Mm-hmm. The other is augmented reality.
Okay.
And both of these things are going to happen at the same time. So augmented reality, they're actually saying let's inject something into the environment that you're looking at now. So here we are in a studio having this conversation, and then maybe there's like a little dude here running around on the table that doesn't exist, but we can all see him. And maybe that dude is like some guy in Belgium who just wanted to come into the radio show and have a chat with us.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's some storytelling thing. Maybe it's...
Right. That guy could be actually a real guy that's just... Not a real guy in the sense of you and I being real, but...
But it would...
Somebody
it would
calling in from Belgium that you just, like, transposed his voice and everything. You know,
I guess, a better term, a hologram.
A hologram.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all we're doing in the end is making it possible to transmit ideas into your head in a more efficient way.
Before we start teleporting.
Right. I mean, personally, I can see a lot of, well, I can see some important applications for something like conflict resolution. Like, for instance,
I'm serious. It's true.
Yeah. I'm serious. I know you think it's a joke. I'm not joking. I'm serious. So, for instance, and I'll just break it down to like a smaller scale, right? You got two dudes. They want to beat the shit out of each other. Mm. Take them into a room in an elementary school. Give them some Oculuses and let them virtually beat the shit out of each other. Learn that maybe it wasn't worth all that.
The fields here are huge. You know, so you got people doing things like, you know, dealing with post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
You got people dealing with fear of flying.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing in Dragonflight.
Yeah.
But the applications are gigantic. You know, it's not just entertainment. It's not just education. Right. It's healthcare. It's a stunning.
I mean, a few years ago, I came up to Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. This is before I came to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and there was a company that was pioneering robotic surgery. Right. Mm-hmm.
Intuitive Surgical.
And that's correct.
Yeah.
Intuitive Surgical.
They're great.
Now, Intuitive Surgical, when I first heard of them, I think Life magazine hired my boy, who was a photojournalist, to come down here and photograph the actual robot.
Mm-hmm.
Call it a robot. It's really a mechanical thing with two contraptions that would make two small incisions in between the rib cages. One would cauterize the skin. The other one could actually, you can do bypass surgery,
sure. mm-hmm.
minimally invasive. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about this is that the doctor, this machine can feasibly be connected to the internet, right? So that the surgeon, right, the best fucking a cardiovascular surgeon in the world who's in Belgium,
right.
can produce... Could do the surgery in California without being
exactly
there. through this little contraption where he puts his fingers in and he's simulating the actual. It was mind blowing.
I hope they don't have Time Warner because that fucking
time
shit'll go out halfway through the surgery.
So it was bizarre. I mean, I got a chance to be in these rooms while they were doing some of these tests on cadavers, right?
Yeah, no, I've seen this stuff.
So it's funny you said, I'm sure, intuitive. So here's the kicker, man. Uh-oh. So I said, fuck, Intuitive Surgery, man, that shit's going to blow off the roof, man. I should buy some stock in that.
Oh, yeah, you should have.
I should have. That was in 1999.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Fast forward. They had not gotten, I guess they got their approval of something because they have to get so many hours and stuff. Hey, you fast forward, like, 7 years later, right? I was thinking, man, whatever happened to Intuitive Surgery?
Oh, it went through the roof.
Like $600-something a share. It was like, and if I was to go back at that point, it was like fucking $4.
Oh, you'd be done. Yeah.
Dude, it was like $4 a share. Yeah. I was like, fuck! Wow. What the hell am I doing? Drop that acid.
You weren't buying stock.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, but you know, there it is. You live and learn.
There you go.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to get one of our...
We need to buy stock in Blackthorn.
We got to get somebody
who's
in
willing,
here.
Right?
Do you want to come in here, Jeremy, and check out this Oculus? And
first victim.
And just check it out so you can describe what the hell's going on. Does he need a seat?
Yeah, it's probably good. It's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, Rich.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you can take one of those seats and sit over there.
What, me?
Take that seat. No, him. I was going to ask you to bring it. No, you're going to take that seat, and you're going to bring it over there. So you can sit down. And then I'm going to put my cell phone underneath your seat so it vibrates as you're riding the dragon.
Sensorama. Sensorama.
You can use your glasses. You can keep them on.
Yeah,
I want
to do it.
Yeah, you can keep your glasses on. So the interesting thing about the Sensorama is that there's actually like five of them left. In the world.
Is that right?
Dude, they're pretty interesting. Which, by the way, this article is from The Verge. TheVerge. TheVerge.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Voices from a Virtual Past. So if you want the link to the article. Give me a jingle on email at Nestorius@yahoo.com and I'll send you the link. It's a pretty interesting article about the history of virtual reality.
Very cool. Oh.
switched into demo mode.
So Jeremy is rocking the Oculus and he's riding the dragon. How's it going there?
Amazing.
It's bizarre.
Look down, Jeremy.
Hold on. Is he on camera? You can see.
Look behind you.
So basically, Jeremy's on this dragon, which you can't see right now, and he's got this Oculus over his head that actually gives him the impression of the reality that he's on this dragon. And what you're hearing right now is the dragon breathing fire.
Blowing shit up,
and he's actually flying on the top of the dragon.
Let's go blow up some trees.
The tower they're falling.
Yeah. Wait, sit down.
He looks like he's on acid.
We don't want to hurt people.
Okay, so listen, guys. You guys can't really be here to watch this, but this episode, you can download the video version of it because this is recorded live on audio and video. So there's a video feed. Do me a favor. You have to at least check out the video section of this. This is like towards the end of the episode. If you're listening to it on iTunes and you downloaded it live, check out the video shit because this shit is bizarre.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just hilarious because my man Jeremy looks like Brendelfly with the fucking glasses on, and he's acting like really erratic because he's on this dragon.
And this is a total virgin flight.
Yeah, he's never done it before.
I love it.
Yeah, it's a trip, man. It's a fucking trip. It's a trip. We got to get Jenny in here to check it out.
Yes, we have to.
Jenny, you got to get on here.
You love it, Jen.
And then what we'll do is we'll set up the computer into the room so you can at least get some sort of an idea of what it looks like.
Oh, neck bite. You got a
dragon attack.
Yeah, you got attack.
Dude, you didn't have me get attacked. I wasn't acting like that.
You know what?
Like
these dragons actually have their own brains now. They control their own destiny.
But check this out. We can at least do this shit while we're smoking cigars later and fucking bug out.
Yeah.
Do some mushrooms, dude. You be bugging the fuck out.
Would they cancel each other out?
Jenny, come inside.
Oh, here comes another one.
I want to see how you look.
Bam.
Nice.
Jeremy, I'm gonna get Jenny in here.
Okay, bring her in.
Just.
That's amazing.
Did you take your glasses off?
Yes,
oh, you did. Okay.
Did.
Oh, I needed my glasses. So Jenny, who's our engineer here, even though she doesn't like calling herself an engineer, she's the engineer. Hey, Jeremy. So after this, maybe we can put the computer on with
we'll
the
have to
HDMI.
Bring it back there.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool.
Ready, Jim?
Pumped up now.
Yeah, man.
Was that wild? Hold on a second. So as she's doing it, say something, man. How was it?
I'll have to share your mic.
Please.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's not on?
No.
Go for it.
Yeah, so you know, it's because it takes your entire field of vision, you know, it does that trick where you really feel like you're flying and moving it was pretty amazing.
Very cool. Thank you, man.
It was very cool. You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
They did such a great job that last week I met Shari Freelo, who is one of the programmers of the Sundance Film Festival, and I told her that I had just come back from riding this dragon, this virtual reality thing, and the Sundance Film Festival, they're doing they have a vested interest in this virtual reality stuff for film and all that other stuff. Anyway, I told her about Lyndon and Blackthorne and all of for some reason, we were trying to get it coordinated so that she can come on this show and have Lyndon and Michael on. Anyway, it worked out that they got to go to the Sundance Film Festival headquarters, show them this
look
stuff,
all around,
and they gave them an opportunity to bring some sort of content
and down
to next year's Sundance Film Festival.
That's great.
That's fucking amazing. That's amazing.
Char was, she was awesome. It was such a great, fun meeting just to get that kind of response.
So how was she?
Oh, she wore it. She loved it. Yeah.
She was bugging out on it.
It was exciting. Exactly. It was, I mean, look, we haven't been making any money on this stuff yet, so our only payment is good reactions.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
That was a good reaction.
But was she was like.
Oh, she was into it.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
That was very cool. She was actually, while she was riding the dragon, she was doing that, trying to hang on to his neck.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
It was awesome.
Because
my animation works.
That's awesome. No, the shit you guys do, man, and have done is like unbelievable.
Thanks.
It's like I you know.
Oh my god.
Jen's bugging out now. It's trippy. Jenny's Latina, so she's not really too scared of dragons. She's used to stabbing scaly dudes in the neck. Yeah. So it's not a big it's not a big deal.
Good thing she's sitting.
Yeah.
Hey, we should give a shout out to Paula Fairfield as we're talking about this.
Oh yeah.
Paula is awesome.
Paula Fairfield.
And she's the one who's been doing our sound effects on this stuff.
Well, hold on a second. We give her a
and she is
big up Paula Fairfield, man! The bomba clad sound effect making holla.
Nice.
That's what the air horn is for.
Thank you. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Any shout outs, I'll bang them all out at the end.
She'll dig that.
All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of sound effects. Are you totally dragon? Yes. Yeah. Do you want to try flying the dragon yourself?
No.
So we have about 7 minutes. So we have like 7 minutes left. So why don't we take the Oculus off of Jenny? Jenny, you want to say a couple of things about your experience there? She's bugging out. Look at her. She's like, yo, man, can I get another hit? Yo, you got a cigarette?
Oh my God.
Yo, you got a cigarette? I want you to bring the computer to Jeremy, see if he can set it up. And you're more than welcome to come hang out with us and ride the Oculus again later on.
I'll do it.
No, not yet. But you're going to do it later because we got about six, seven minutes. And so does that computer need to be powered still?
Thank you, Jen.
Or is there enough battery on there?
The frame rate will drop a little bit if you unplug it, but
okay.
We can give it a shot.
Okay, you want to put it on sleep mode and then he can take it?
No. Just leave it as it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, you want to come and get the computer? All right. Yeah, because we have it'd be cool to show the NPR world out there what it looks like from the monitor.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does the Oculus connect to the laptop? Is it USB?
It's right through the HDMI port.
It's HDMI. Oh, okay.
Nice. So now you have this. You have this thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you have to further develop the story of the dragon, which takes endless hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it takes when you say stop motion animation. Like mm-hmm. I know what that means, but to do something like this, like you're doing north, south, east, west, up, down. I mean, you gotta animate every single movement.
Yeah, completely.
So.
Excuse me, man. Just because it's, the computer doesn't make it any quicker.
No.
So you're actually, those performances, just done over time, just over and over and just massage for it to get to that point. Yeah.
You mean the articulation and all that stuff that you're working on?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because I did see some of that. I think you call them rigs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You take a digital model that's just at default, that has no controls on it whatsoever, and riggers will apply the controls to it. And mm-hmm. so then I will take it and bring it to life, give it all the performance.
Got it. So there's a few stages to it, mm-hmm. and there are different people who actually touch it before it gets to that dragon, that animation.
Someone will build it, someone will rig it. I mean, sometimes you'll have one person who can multitask and do it all, but mm-hmm. when it's, it just depends.
Right.
My specialty is performance, so I understand rigging and modeling, and I know what a creature or character needs to look like to be able to move properly, mm-hmm. so I can communicate those things and work with those people. Mm-hmm. So when it gets to me, mm-hmm. it can do what I needed to make it to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then what do you wind up doing after, the rigging is done and the controllers are put in and all that stuff. What do you do? I do
that. I bring it to life. Everything you guys were experiencing and riding it, that's me animating it. Yeah, I am Blackthorn's animation department.
Got it. It's look, as a concept. Oh, shit, that was just like, this is me. I just hit the exciter button.
Right.
So, as an animation standpoint, no one knowing about, someone not knowing about animation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a multiple amount of images mm-hmm. that are drawn slightly different, so it looks like something is moving.
Right.
Right. So you.
Right.
What was that thing that we called before?
A zoetrope. Yeah.
So, but at this point, where you're mm-hmm. talking about computer animation, it's mm-hmm. like more fucking complex.
It's the same principles. There's a lot of weird science going on because what a computer does, it interpolates movement between frames. But within that interpolation, that's where the artist building the performance. So it's not just moving linearly.
Interpolation meaning it kind of fills in the gaps.
It fills in the gaps. Right?
Got it. Right. Got it. It's highly technical. I mean, when I went to your pad.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's mm-hmm. a lot of information to take in. I mean, even for somebody who understands some of it, what I mean?
Because you're talking anywhere from hundreds to thousands of controls on one character.
Yeah.
So you have
to know. And when you say controls, those are like different points where something can move. Yeah.
Joints and all of this stuff.
Those are fingers, toes.
Right. Eyebrows, everything.
Right. Interesting stuff. So these guys are trying to hook up the computer so that at least you can get a couple of minutes, hopefully, mm-hmm. of looking at this this mm-hmm. thing. Do you guys? We talked briefly about. You guys getting to be invited to do something at Sundance.
Right.
Do you guys have, it just happened yesterday. Congratulations on that.
Or today, actually.
Oh, today.
Yeah, it was
today. That's right.
Meeting.
Today's Thursday.
That's right, yeah.
At 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
That shit is awesome, dude.
Thank you, bro.
That's fucking awesome. So
that's exciting, man. It's going to be fun.
So, did you guys have something in mind? Like, when she said, I'm sure they asked you, do you have something that you can actually.
And I talked, Shari and I talked story things that we have in mind that we want to do mm-hmm. In the short narrative form to present and showcase there.
Like a 5-minute thing or less?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Because Sundance is January.
Yeah, I know.
You don't got that many months.
Yeah, we can do it.
Oh, I know you can do it.
We're ready. The whole thing is about being ready for opportunities.
No. I know you can do it. That's not even an issue. I get it.
Clock's ticking.
Yeah.
But hey, man.
So, all right. So we have.
That's what we're ready for.
We have a minute left,
uh-huh.
which is good because my computer's about to die. So let me give it a backup plug in so that we can do the last shout outs. Mm-hmm. So, obviously we weren't able to put the monitor on.
No, it sounded like we might be able to run a camera straight onto the monitor here.
Oh, okay. Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah, it's up now.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So what do we got? 40 seconds.
No, right. We're good. We're good. Okay. Jeremy's here. I usually get kicked out by Jenny because we're on a time. The show's a timed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But this is fucking amazing stuff,
man. Thank
you, man. I am so excited for you guys, man.
Dude, thanks for having us. I'm glad we finally got to do it, man.
Yeah.
And, hope we weren't boring.
Yeah, no, not at all. It was fun. Too bad people out there aren't in the room to see it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess the most important question for me would be, how could somebody experience this? I mean, you guys are not getting paid, right? And you get paid in you know, hallucinatory movements by people using this fucking thing.
Right. Where you expect to be releasing this on what's called early access?
Yeah.
Through Valve's channel.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if your listeners are familiar with Steam, for instance, which is a big channel for video games.
Okay.
We expect we'll have the mono eye and the VR version of this up and running on early access on Steam pretty darn soon.
Pretty darn soon, like months.
Maybe no, maybe even as soon as a couple of weeks from now.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
We're pushing, man.
So let me ask you a question. So, all right. So if you look at the video monitor, there's a simulation of the dragon that Jeremy just put a camera on. You guys really need to check out the video version of this podcast. Definitely have to do it. It's worth it. So if you look at the bottom of my of the Nestorius window there, Nestorius Public Radio window, there should be their website. It's blackthorn-media.com. Right. So do you guys have a page? Maybe you're thinking about putting a page where the Steam thing that you were just talking about, where you can get where you can actually have access to buying this stuff at. In other words, like a link to where to buy it.
We will have that, but we haven't gotten that.
You don't have that page yet. But check blackthorn-media.com for more updates. Is there any, like, do you guys have a way for people to contact you guys? There's contact.
Yeah, we've got a link on the webpage.
Yeah, everything's there.
So if anybody wants to contact Lyndon with naked pictures of yourself that you may want them to animate for future virtual
more
reality
often than
stuff,
right.
Email Lyndon, not Michael.
I shouldn't have mentioned porn.
Not Michael, because Lyndon is the guy who does the animation. Michael creates characters. So if you're already coming on board with your own character, he doesn't need to deal with that. Just contact Lyndon.
That's right.
And if I'm going to guess, it'll be like lyndon@blackthornmedia.com, something like that.
Oh,
but just get him on that. Just make sure, seriously, go to blackthorn-media.com. Check out what these guys are doing, man. This is pretty cutting edge shit, man. And 55 minutes is not a long time.
It went fast.
Oh no, it went fast. So now let me ask you something, Jenny. You still focusing on the dragon? Did we get enough coverage on the dragon? Yeah? All right. Do you guys want to give any more shout-outs to anybody?
Pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just everybody generically?
Chris Kasani, Joe Mansavich. I don't know, man.
Hold on.
Keith,
one at a time.
I'd like to thank Mort Kellick for
Will Telford, our other partners.
Kim Kardashian. Big up! Hold on a second. All right. I had to do that. Because I had to do that because...
She's like, no. No, done did
I had to do that because you know what happens? I'm going to tell you what happens. When I put the power thing on my computer, it creates this hum. So I just took it off. And then, of course, when I put it back in, it causes this god-awful hum. So forgive that. Shout-outs to who?
Yeah, I want
to
just mention our other partners.
Keith Goldfarb.
And Will Goldfarb.
Hold on. One at a time. Hold on a second. One at a time. Keith Goldfarb, man! Who else?
Will Telford!
Okay. That's it?
And then our wives. Got a shout out to Janine, bro. Come on.
Janine's my whole girl, man. I gotta have Janine up
and
in here.
And Rosemary for making the connection with
Sean. Rosemary's a sweetheart, man.
That's right, man.
You know, that's how
I know.
And all
our peeps.
And the wonderful people at the Sundance Film Festival offices. Ruthie, Shari, and whoever else you met, big up to y'all. That was large.
Yeah.
To
very much
hook
so.
These guys up and give them an opportunity. This shit is amazing. And that's it, man. So make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe to the show, Nestorius Public Radio. Mm-hmm. Tell your people, man, to go to facebook.com/Nestorius Public Radio. Like the fucking page, man. Come on.
The fuck, man!
You're bullshitting. You're wasting your your boss's fucking dollars and the time. At least you could be useful and add more likes to the Nestorius Public Radio page. You know what I'm saying?
How could you not respond to that?
You know what I mean?
A passion to plead.
You know what I mean? And while you're at it, man, if you're on iTunes,
I like that page.
If you're on iTunes, man, go to Nestorius Public Radio. Go to the reviews section. give us a 5-star review. Say something, man. Say something nice. You know what I mean? Email me that screen grab to Nestorius@yahoo.com, and, you know, Uncle Ness may send you something. You know what I'm saying? So, big up, y'all. Big up.
Me. Ooh-wee, it's me.